Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Deb Pierce.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
Much respect. That was a field to be caught off. I locked the door and I threw away the key. Letting go never felt so easy. The best thing that never happened to me. Don't call to tell me you're not trying when you try to get me back. I'm not so sure you even knew what you had.
Listening to the Windy City Queer Cast, show number 489. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Deb Pierce, dusting my dust off in the corner because it's been so long.
Hello, Deb Pierce. How are you?
I am great. I miss you. Hello, Chicago and the world that listens to the Windy City podcast. Good to Queer Cast. I say podcast. I got to throw the word queer in there. Windy City Queer Cast. It is so good to be back with you.
Hello, Toronto. How are things in Toronto? You all have a lovely fall, so it must be becoming nice.
It's beautiful. It's not quite getting there, but I won't lie. It's almost Thanksgiving here in Canada. So yesterday, I took about an hour, and I did all of my Thanksgiving front fall decorations. So it's covered with mums of all different colors and my little scarecrows, and I'm feeling quite festive.
Now, why do you all celebrate Thanksgiving now?
I don't know, because people like turkey? I don't know.
But I mean, do you celebrate it? Do you celebrate the same way that we do, like with the Indians and the pilgrims?
We don't wear, you know, there's no buckles and hats for us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's just like a time of gratitude and Thanksgiving, but it has nothing to do with Indians and pilgrims and corn.
You know, I probably learned that in school. It's probably about something to do with, I don't know. Are we in part and parcel with our counterpart of being so close to you guys?
I just wonder why you celebrated it at a different time. It's just very interesting.
Well, I think ours is more about the bounty of the actual year. So
okay.
That's probably why for us it's all pumpkins and
yes.
corn and stuff like that. So
yeah.
I think it's just about celebrating the land for us.
You all are agreeable, and we're really trying to show our muscle is really what we're saying.
Yeah, we want to feed you so you guys can go out and have wars and fight and take people's land and stuff.
It's
we will
crazy.
Be there to feed you with our bounty and harvest.
It's crazy. Now, you know, we're in an election time here.
No kidding. I haven't been able to turn CNN on to find some juicy, life-changing story without seeing something about MIP. Let's not even talk about that ridiculous name. And Obama, like, how many years have you been leading up with your news about the goddamn election?
I know. It's kind of crazy. I'm curious as to what people outside of the United States think about our political process.
We think it's ridiculous and money spent that you could be saving your own people in your own backyard who are starving. I think it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It is. It's like the longest foreplay for an anticlimactic, like one night stand. It's ridiculous.
It's true. I mean, do you all have your own commentary shows that just shake their heads at?
No,
the whole
we don't make. I mean, maybe, but you know, far be it for us to judge your process. But it's just not how we do it.
Yeah.
It's not at all how we do it. And we do, I mean, the smear campaigns and the slandering and the approving, I'm Barack Obama and I approve this message or whatever, that definitely has kind of trickled up north because, yeah. Let's face it, it's politics. And there is some sort of, there's dirty stuff that's affiliated with it.
Yep.
But the amount of buildup for this just seems gratuitous. Like,
yeah.
It just, I don't remember it being quite that obsessive and over, you know, 100% encompassing for even for Barack Obama when he ran. Like,
oh,
I don't remember it. Like, the second he was voted in, like, people started, you know, trying to pit against him, it seems like.
Oh, yeah. As my grandmama said, that man, they wouldn't give him air if he was in a jar. That's what she says. Wise words from a woman turning 104 this next month.
This month. Her.
You have been enjoying the harvest, the fall, the corn, the pumpkins, the leaves, all that is to come. But you have had this extraordinary 2012 with being a mom. Tell us how Jack is and what's the new adventures in lesbian momhood.
Well, Jack will be 10 months, I can't believe it, on October 3rd, and I keep saying he's 9.5 months because I don't want him to get any older.
Yep.
Because I'm kind of obsessed with the fact that he's little and small and needs me in every single way.
Yes.
But he is crawling the most hilarious crawl. He doesn't bend his legs at all, so he sort of looks like a crab, and he can really book it. Like, he is quick.
Yeah.
He's getting teeth. He is saying mama, dada, gaga. He screams. He sings. He's very musical. He likes to play the drums. I'm hoping to have the second Justin Bieber. So let's face it, I don't want to work. I'd like him to be famous. And he's amazing. And he is so in love with his other mother and I. When you know, one of us has been away for a while, whatever he's doing in any part of the house, he will grab whatever he has, squeeze it, and scream when we come in the room.
Mm.
He just, that kind of love, I don't get that from my own wife. You know what I'm saying? It is love.
So what are you all going to call, you know, who is somebody going to be mom, somebody going to be mama? I mean, as you said, he's saying dada. I mean, is this like, what is the plan, or is there one?
Well, most same-sex parents say that they will kind of allow their kid to choose it, but I consciously call myself mommy and Lee is mama. But I think he's choosing mum for her and mumma for me. So it's never just mama. It's just he will crawl up onto my knee and be mumma. It could be just a sound, or he could be a genius. We're not sure.
Well, you're the more verbose of the two, so maybe he just needs more syllables there.
I don't know why you say that.
I don't know why I say that. So can you even imagine a time where this little one is, like, moving off to school and you're not with him every single moment?
I don't know why you got to be so hurtful. it's interesting you'd say that because he's just in his fifth day of daycare. Right now, and he is with amazing women who are all early childhood education graduates, so it's not, you know, the basement of a house, which is fine and has its place, but these are all educators, and they've got structure, and they've got playtime, and they've got interaction, and then they go out, and so he is in the best place he can be in, but I've already stopped breastfeeding, so that's a little process of letting go, and he's in daycare, so the controlling me that wants to know everything that's happening at every moment and make sure that no child is being mean to him.
Right.
I'm having to let that go too. So, but you know what, every parent I talk to and the parents that are out there listening are people that have worked with, you know, in childcare, it's better for him to be socialized, especially as an only child. It's better for him to learn how to play and share and give and be away from me. It's helping me to be a better parent.
Yeah.
Because, you kind of need that space so that they can, you know, grow their own personalities and develop and then come home to the safety of your, you know, your home every day. So.
Now, do you know lots of, I mean, are you surrounded and do you have a lot of gay couples and lesbian couples that have kids or had kids from previous marriages, or
Is that a part of your community now, or do you still feel like you all are the lesbian couple with the baby?
Yeah. Well, in the small town outside of Toronto that I live in, we don't have very many. For example, at his childcare building that's been around for a long time, we are the first same-sex parents.
Right.
But they definitely exist here. And you're right, they're sort of nuclear family blends for people that were straight identified and now they've partnered with, with women, but or men. But we also have, in the last 2 months, we have new friends that are starting to pop out babies, two women that are together. So, I think it's becoming more prevalent. And then, it's like when you buy a Lexus, that's all you see on the road because that's all you know, right? That's what you're looking for.
Right.
So we just started to, attract other parents because let's face it, we're not going to bars anymore. Damn it.
Yeah. Yeah. I was about to say, I would imagine your social life has changed a little bit.
It has. Although I'm still in Toronto all the time doing shows because that's a huge part of me and I never want that to change. And that continues to make me be a better mom too. I have to be exactly who I am so that he can see me as the individual that I am and as the community-minded person that I am. So I need to lead by that example and not just be like, at home with him because that's not me at all.
Well, in this new holiday movie that's coming out here in Chicago with our movie critic, Richard Knight Jr., which we talked about just a couple of podcasts ago, I actually am playing a half of a lesbian couple who's pregnant. And
you're
has
playing
a baby.
Half a lesbian?
Well, I play half a lesbian couple. I could play half a lesbian, but I don't know what the other half would be.
That's cool. What's the name of it?
It's called Scrooge and Marley. So it's the take on the Christmas Carol story in a current day kind of queer flavor set in Chicago. So it's going to be coming out here very early in December and I'm pretty super psyched about it and happy to be playing kind of a Deb Pierce back almost a year ago. So
great.
If I do say so myself. Well, it seems that you are living one of the new normal family units that we are seeing around the world, new families, and the new television show NBC's The New Normal is definitely representing that. And Deb and I are going to talk about that and a couple of other shows that are on or about to come to the television sets in homes around North America. And then we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on in Canada. And much, much more. We've got GLBT news coming up for you now and what's going on in the theater scene because it is heating up.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the weekend news. Less than a day before Lieutenant Dan Choi's September 26th criminal hearing, Magistrate Judge Elizabeth C. Wingo recused herself. The recusal, an unprecedented delay, is based upon Choi's motion related to government misconduct. Choi is still on trial for protesting Don't Ask, Don't Tell in federal court, and the hearing on that separate case is still set for October 17th.
Actor George Clooney is auctioning a date with himself to benefit GLSEN, the Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network. Two people will get to spend lunch with Clooney at West Hollywood Soho House. The once-in-a-lifetime experience is valued at $20,000 and is available to bid on through October 11th at the auction site Charity Buzz.
Archbishop Jose Gomez of Los Angeles has suspended local priest Father Joseph Palacios from the ministry over the latter's promotion of same-sex marriage. Palacios cannot say Mass or distribute the sacraments. Moreover, he may not wear a Roman collar and cannot in any way present himself as a priest in public. Palacios is a founding member of Catholics for Equality, a pro-LGBT group.
In California, Berkeley is thought to be the country's first city to officially proclaim a day recognizing bisexuals. September 23rd was declared Bisexual Pride and Bi Visibility Day throughout the city, a proclamation the city council unanimously approved.
United States Senator Susan Collins of Maine has become the first Republican to co-sponsor a bill that ends discrimination against same-sex couples in immigration deportation cases. The Uniting American Families Act allows gays and lesbians to sponsor their same-sex spouse for citizenship. Currently, same-sex couples are forced to split, with one partner having to leave the country. Collins has also co-sponsored ENDA and the Tax Parity for Health Plan Beneficiaries Act.
Intel, the Boy Scouts of America's largest corporate donor, will stop giving to the group unless it vows to stop discriminating against gay people. Thousands of people joined a campaign on change.org urging Intel to stop funding the Scouts until the organization removes its ban on gay youth and leaders. Intel gave nearly $700,000 to the Boy Scouts in 2010.
The Reverend Al Sharpton and other African-American ministers spoke out in favor of same-sex marriage, saying marriage equality is a civil rights issue, not a religious one. However, Derek McCoy, chairman of the Maryland Marriage Alliance, opposing same-sex marriage, said several large African-American churches are on his side. Maryland, which has a black population of about 30%, is one of four states where voters will decide on the marriage equality question in November.
In Utah, the group Mormons Building Bridges has joined with Ogden Outreach to help gay Mormon youth who are homeless. Approximately 1,000 homeless youths in the state are gay, and they are driven from their homes.
Students at a Kentucky high school who overcame administrative censorship by launching their own independent publication, and a Tennessee yearbook advisor who was reassigned after defending a student's right to publish a candid article about being gay, are the winners of the 2012 Courage in Student Journalism Award. Recipients are the staff of the Red Pen, an independent newspaper at DuPont Manual High School in Louisville, Kentucky, and James Yokley, the former newspaper and yearbook advisor at Lenoir City High School, Tennessee.
Photojournalist Betty Lane, renowned for capturing the feminist movement during the 70s and 80s, has died of cancer at the age of 82. Lane also photographed demonstrations for gay and civil rights, as well as rallies against the Vietnam War. Her work covering the 1969 Stonewall riots appear in the 2010 documentary Stonewall Uprising.
In Illinois, the Chicago Housing Authority, or CHA, has approved a major contract for upcoming LGBT-friendly senior housing in Lakeview. CHA's Board of Commissioners voted in favor of the housing assistance payment contract on September 18th.
Jerome P. Horowitz, Ph.D., the researcher who first discovered the anti-HIV drug AZT, died recently in Michigan at the age of 93. While searching for a cancer-fighting agent in the 60s, Horowitz discovered AZT, but saw it as a failure because it didn't contain cancer. However, in the 1980s, AZT became the primary ingredient in an AIDS cocktail of antiretroviral drugs.
In Massachusetts, a recent federal court ruling that granted a trans inmate gender reassignment surgery does not have the backing of politicians. Both candidates for the Senate, Republican Scott Brown and Democrat Elizabeth Warren, criticized the ruling, but then saying it's a waste of taxpayer dollars. In addition, the administration of Democratic Governor Deval Patrick said he will appeal the judge's decision.
In Missouri, Maple Woods City Hall passed a sexual orientation non-discrimination ordinance 4-3. Maplewood is only the 7th out of 96 municipalities in the St. Louis area to pass such an ordinance.
In world news, France may be set to ban the words mother and father from all official documents. The country's new president, François Hollande, is apparently making good on a pre-election promise to make same-sex marriage legal. The plan is to use the word parents in marriage ceremonies, whether they're opposite or same-sex parents. This change would affect adoptions as well.
In Vietnam, approximately 200 youths held a flash mob in Hanoi's Cao Jai district for the nation's first ever community dance performance expressing support for the LGBT community. At the event called Love is Love, the group performed for 3 hours to songs such as Lady Gaga's Born This Way.
Hong Kong billionaire Cecil Shao Shih-tsung has offered a $65 million reward to any man who can woo his married lesbian daughter, Gigi. In addition to the dowry, Zhao has also pledged to help the successful suitor launch his own business. Gigi reportedly eloped with her longtime female partner to France.
In Tasmania, the state upper house defeated a proposed marriage equality bill. The bill's fate was sealed when several key members of parliament raised constitutional doubts. Tasmania was the last Australian state to decriminalize homosexuality in 1997.
In entertainment news, former Pittsburgh Pirates owner Kevin McClatchy told the New York Times that he is gay. McClatchy, the owner and CEO of the Major League Baseball team from 1996 through 2007, said he stayed in the closet because of frequent homophobic slurs he heard in baseball circles. "You're not going to solve any problem until you start a dialogue," McClatchy said, "and there's no dialogue right now."
Barbara Streisand will perform a duet with son Jason Gould during her October 11th concert in Brooklyn. Her upcoming album will be one of duets, and when asked which artist she would like to perform with, the singer mentioned Usher, John Legend, and Keith Urban.
Pro dancer Maxine Smirkowski is set to leave Dancing with the Stars to pursue other opportunities, including a potential reality show with Brother Val, who's also on Dancing with the Stars. Maxine will not renew his contract when it expires in 2014.
Oscar winner Helen Mirren will receive this year's European Achievement in World Cinema Award, the European Film Academy's Lifetime Achievement Honor. Mirren will receive the honor at the 25th European Film Awards, December 1st in Malta.
Thanks to the coverage of the secret Mitt Romney tape, The Rachel Maddow Show pulled in the top ratings among adults 25 to 54 for the week of September 17th, beating Fox News Channel's Hannity for the first time since January 19th, 2009. Maddow had 567,000 viewers. Hannity was second with 500,000. CNN Piers Morgan Tonight was third with 198,000.
The L Word creator Eileen Chaikin has sold a drama to CBS titled Solve for X. The drama revolves around a young game developer in San Francisco who agrees to be a consultant for an anti-crime task force. Chaikin's L Word reality spinoff, The Real L Word, recently finished its third season on Showtime.
Transgender model Leah T. stole the show at Milan Fashion Week. She opened and closed with the Philip Klein show and had an exclusive with the Swiss designer. Leah T., who began the gender reassignment process in 2008, first appeared on the cover of Love magazine, Locking Lips with Kate Moss.
Celine Dion, Jennifer Hudson, and Usher are among the musicians who will pay tribute to the late Whitney Houston in a one-hour TV special called We Will Always Love You, a Grammy salute to Whitney Houston. The show will tape October 11th at the Nokia Theater in L.A. and will air live November 16th on CBS.
Neil Patrick Harris has signed with Crown Archetype to pen his yet-to-be-titled memoir for publication in spring 2014. Crown's David Drake said, Neil blew us away with his highly original and creative vision for his book.
Singer Katie Lang's domestic partnership with Jamie Price has been legally dissolved. The couple met in 2003. Lang and Price became domestic partners in California and lived in Los Angeles. They both waived partner support and will split their property evenly.
And six-year-old reality TV star Honey Boo Boo has shown her love for the LGBT community, Advocate.com noted. On the season finale of her hit show, she jumped into the arms of Uncle Poodle, which is her pet name for her gay Uncle Lee. She later told the cameras, and I'm not doing the accent, ain't nothing wrong with being a little gay. Everybody's a little gay. Her show has already been renewed for a second season. And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
Vancouver is home to Western Canada's largest LGBT population, and now you can enter for your chance to win the Lights, Camera, Attraction prize package to Vancouver, British Columbia. A safe and welcoming destination for diehard shoppers, avid outdoor thrill seekers, nightlife aficionados, and dedicated food lovers, Vancouver is a world-class city offering something for everyone. From sports pubs to drag shows, leather bars to dance clubs, lounges and restaurants, Vancouver's got it all. Plus, Vancouver Pride celebrations and the Vancouver Queer Film Festival in July and August, and Whistler's Winter Pride in February. Tourism Vancouver is pleased to offer you and a guest the chance to win a trip to Vancouver in 2013. For a chance to win the Lights, Camera, Attraction sweepstakes, visit tourismvancouver.com/lights by November 30th, 2012 to enter. That's tourismvancouver.com/lights.
This is Sharon Gless, and you're on the Windy City Queercast.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club.
Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of October 1st, 2012, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. The Indigo Girls are coming to the Paramount in Aurora in a rare full band concert. Join Emily and Amy for a rockin' night of music, stories, and unforgettable moments, all in the acoustically perfect Paramount Theater. One night only, November 3rd. For tickets, visit ParamountAurora.com. That's ParamountAurora.com.
Lifeline Theater opens its 30th anniversary season of Big Stories Up Close with a world premiere adaptation of Wilkie Collins' classic mystery, The Woman in White. Playing Thursday through Sundays through October 28th, to see The Woman in White, go to lifelinetheater.com.
Chicago Shakespeare Theater, the award-winning theater that brought you the last season's Follies, the number one show of 2011 by the Chicago Tribune, presents Stephen Sondheim's Sunday in the Park with George, a soaring musical about a painter's struggle between creating art and living life. For tickets to this limited engagement, visit chicagoshakes.com/Sunday, playing now through November 4th.
Olivia Newton-John is coming to the Paramount in Aurora for one night only. Sing along to the hits you love, like Xanadu, Let Me Be There, and of course, Physical. This is her only Chicago area appearance, one night only, November 10th. For tickets, visit ParamountAurora.com. That's ParamountAurora.com.
This fall, go inside the mind of a lover, a madman, a poet, a genius, a killer, and a king. Don't miss Hamlet, now playing at Writers Theater in Glencoe, just minutes from downtown Chicago on the Edens or the Metra. For tickets, visit writerstheater.org. Shakespeare's most famous play, combined with an all-star Chicago cast, makes this Hamlet the must-see play of the fall. And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hi there, this is Deb Pierce reminding you it's okay. Go ahead. You're not alone. Post a comment.
Deb, are you watching The New Normal on NBC, this new show, which has two gay men finding a surrogate and working to become a family?
I absolutely am. I have watched every single episode, and there are parts that I love, and there's parts that I would change.
Yes. So tell me what they're getting right.
Well, they're getting right the fact that it is just, it is what it is, and it is okay. And as long as you don't give people permission to judge your life, they can't. So just the fact that they're so comfortable and know never mind about their existence and every decision that they make around it, is just, it is, I don't know if it's ever going to be normal. But,
yes.
But the fact that they put that in there, the new normal, does really speak to the fact that there are a lot of people that are married, and there are a lot of people that are choosing to create families with children or through adoption. So I love the fact that in my lifetime, this show exists, because I'm old enough to know that there was a time where I wouldn't have even been able to fathom the idea of a same-sex parenting relationship. So the fact that it exists to me is a big hooray.
Right. And,
you know?
And yeah, I agree. Now, they obviously have, they've actually, with the character that Ellen Barkin plays, the mm-hmm. Archie, the new modern day Archie Bunker, I guess we could say.
yeah.
Have really given that voice on the show. But Ellen Barkin is enough of an actress to not entirely make it not ring true.
Yeah.
Saying some of the most deplorable things possible, but
oh my God, like everything that has ever been said about gay men in a derogatory sense has come out of her mouth in a string and a slew between fudge packing and I mean all of the things that have ever been used against us
yeah.
are being written to totally, you know, throw that on its ear. I think it's so smart, and it's a little. I mean, part of it feels a little overacted. I don't know if one of the leads has a strong background in theater.
Yep.
But he is it Brian? The beautiful younger one that's obsessed.
Yes,
with the
fact he was in Book of Mormon on Broadway, so he is a musical theater guy.
Yeah, you can see that. He's an old, to me, he's a bit over, and I know his character is over.
Yeah.
And we all know guys like that, you know?
Yeah.
So that is a real character. It's not just for television. Like, there really are gay men that are that gay and that fashion conscious and that obsessed with Shea, you know, body lotion at night.
Yes, yes.
But it does seem to be over, but I think he's toning down slightly.
Well, and hopefully, you know, we've seen, like, even the character of Kurt on Glee and things like that, you know, as time goes on, if those actors have their muscle, then they're hopefully given the opportunity to, you know, add those layers of depth to those, you know, kind of seemingly clownish characters.
Exactly.
And
you know what's interesting is that he's rich and he has allegedly been to the Emmys, but his career and his profession is not necessarily hugely explored. We know that the other partner is a doctor, but I'm not entirely sure what he does.
Well, we know that he has a television show. I mean, I think he's, this last episode seemed to indicate that he does run a show like Glee, like Ryan Murphy, who's the creator of the show.
Right. He's so everywhere, that Ryan Murphy. He's amazing.
He is everywhere. Well, I'm very interested to see, you know, how the new normal progresses. And I sat down and watched for the first time this new show called Partners, which is the people who brought us Will and Grace and it is the story of two men who have been friends since they were young kids, which you discover in the very first episode through three very quick flashbacks, who are now working in a design architectural firm together. They're best friends. One happens to be openly gay and one is openly straight. And and it's Michael Urey from Ugly Betty, who is a brilliant, also that more overt, flamboyant gay. But he's been given some, you know, he is really an extraordinary actor. You know, it's about their life. He with his partner, and there's three sets of partners. You know, it's he and his partner, it's the straight man and now his fiance, and then the obvious relationship between these two men who we don't often see that. And I almost think it is more unusual to see this deep friendship, this lifelong friendship between a straight man and a gay man, than it is to see the new normal. And yet
you're
the
right.
New normal is getting the attention.
So you're right.
Which I really encourage people to give Partners a shot. And you know, it's interesting because I think that there is, I know that there is an autobiographical aspect to Partners because it's really based on these two people who write together and their friendship, who, you know, wrote Will and Grace and have worked on many other sitcoms and television shows. So I've only seen one episode, but I really hope this one sustains because I think it's got a real, real shot. The writing is very clever, and I don't watch a lot of sitcoms anymore, so I'm finding myself trying to watch these sitcoms that are trying to not just make a mockery of who we are, but just say we are out there living our lives. And
well, and that's
and there
the thing because
characters.
Sometimes gay characters are introduced and then they're killed or they become murderers. I mean, you know, Grey's Anatomy season premiere.
Don't tell. Don't spoil.
Well, what I'm, you know, you think one thing and then you're led down the garden path for another because sometimes the lesbian characters are there and sometimes they're not and sometimes it's ambiguous and sometimes it's misleading. And it's nice to know that you're kind of, instead of introducing a love interest, that you're actually hitting the ground running already with gay characters.
Well, and that's the thing, to have centralized gay characters, I think, that just happen to be gay, you know, is really key. And I actually do think Grey's Anatomy has done that very well. I think Brothers and Sisters did that really well. I mean, that show ended, but I felt like in many ways that the gay relationships on some of these shows have been the healthiest. And you know, and I think Eric Stone Street, even on Modern Family, when he won the Emmy again this year, I thought his speech was so beautiful when he said, you know, I never thought I'd be in a television show playing a gay person, let alone I'd win an Emmy. But that just representing, you know, how proud he was to be representing this type of relationship, partnership that is healthy and loving and supportive. And then that's really the basis of it. And I do think that, you know, we're starting to see that. And now J-Lo, of all people, I mean, yes, and I did say J-Lo, is executive producing for ABC Family. So not even ABC, who definitely has a lot of gay characters, but ABC Family, more geared to shows that families sit down and watch or younger people sit down and watch, mm-hmm. Has greenlit a new series called The Fosters. And The Fosters is about an interracial lesbian couple who happen to have foster children and also their own biological child. And yet it's not the main part of the storyline. It's actually mostly from what I hear about this one child that comes to them that they start parenting. And I just think, well, okay, is this really going to be the new normal? The new normal is just that it happens to be a lesbian couple, and not only a lesbian couple, but it's a mixed race lesbian couple, which I think is just huge. And I hope J-Lo can pull this one off. Have you heard about it?
No, I have not. And I'm thrilled by it and I love it. And that sounds amazing, because there's people out there that might still not have ever met a queer couple. And for them to be able to sit down and have that open discussion with their partner or their kids is amazing. And then J-Lo endorsing it, so you've already got your foot in the door, because, you know, she's nothing but positivity, right? I mean, there's nothing really fraught with scandal about her. And she's got twins, so she's a mom, she's a partner, she's stooping somebody probably half her age, which, let's all face it, that's enviable. And the fact that she's, you know, behind it is amazing, because it doesn't have to be the gay people pushing a gay agenda. And I use that with my tongue firmly planted in my cheek. You know, it's like, this is life and this is what I see around me and this is what I'm going to support. It's great.
Well, and I think so too. You know, it's interesting, because it kind of harkens back and reminds me of Sandra Bullock fostering the George Lopez, you know, sitcom, because she just met him and felt like that needed to be represented. You know, she's not a part of the Latin community at all.
Right.
And, you know, J-Lo, I think, is doing a similar thing here. It makes sense when Selma Hayek executive produced Ugly Betty, based on a show from her country, but it makes less, there's not a linear sense that, like, oh, I'm putting my people, you know, front and center. And I just think it's great that she's just putting families, and people trying to be parents. And I mean, this is a huge epidemic, these, you know, kids who need loving families. And I think it's just awful what's happened with adoption rights around, you know, so many states in the U.S. that it's so difficult for gays and lesbians to adopt, often in many states. So this is going to be an interesting one to watch. Another piece of Hot Topic, I'll just tell you this, and then I want to talk about what's going on in Canada as you all start looking at families and households. But just out this week that there will be a gay storyline in J.K. Rowling of the Harry Potter fame. She is writing a new novel. This is an adult fiction novel called The Casual Vacancy. There will be a gay storyline. It does involve a lesbian storyline. It involves an older, or let's just say not old, but like a grown woman coming out or being in a lesbian relationship. So I think that is going to be interesting, because I think this is going to be a book picked up a lot based on Rowling's fame with Harry Potter. And can she write a book that's not for kids, even though most adults I know read the Harry Potter books, and I would not necessarily just call them children's books. So
they're definitely not just children's books. But the fact that she's doing that is another way, another vehicle to get the conversation rolling about gay being okay.
Yeah. Very, very interesting. So talk to me. Canada, you all, do you all have a census like we do? We have the U.S. census. What do you all have that measures how many people are in Canada and how people are living?
Yeah, we have StatsCan. So StatsCanada, which is the census that comes out, it shows, it comes out and they say as soon as it's mailed to you, it's your legal obligation to fill it out. So what happened with this year is it's the results are in for 2011. Stats Canada said that they may have overestimated by 4,500 people the number of same-sex married couples in certain parts of the country because the assumption is that they're actually maybe only roommates. So because things are so like, oh, it's Bob and Doug living together, they must be a gay couple. Uh-huh. Well, they're actually not, and in some smaller communities where people are trying to save money, that they're actually just roommates. So they're not entirely sure, but they're going to get to the fact that StatsCan says that same-sex marriage nearly tripled between 2006 and 2011 by the numbers going up by several thousand. So they're going to kind of get to the bottom of it. Although I do know a lot of people that were same-sex married in those 5 years. So.
Uh-huh.
Who knows? They'll let us know.
It's interesting because in the U.S. we have the reverse problem where we had a whole census where they were trying to recognize the possibility that Doug and Matt might be a gay couple.
Yep.
Because before they would just call them single men and we weren't counted at all. So it's really interesting that our lens is looking at it from one side and your lens is looking at it from the other side. They assume Doug and Matt are gay men living together. The United States, Doug and Matt are, of course, frat boys who live together. You know what I mean? I mean,
who never have drunken sex. Well, and, you know, in Canada, I say how progressive we are because I wear that as a badge of honor, absolutely. But it was only 2006 where we actually started to count same-sex couples at all.
Yeah, that's about when we, I think, trying to start allowing for the possibility that two same-sex people living in a household would be gay.
Yeah.
So, because there was a big campaign to really encourage you to say that you lived with somebody. I mean, not to lie, but to not call yourself single. And they wanted to put a different word down, you know, on
Right.
And then there are those of us who, you know, might be in a relationship, but we don't live with somebody who happened to be gay living alone in our own apartments or home. And so how do we count that as well? So interesting, interesting. Any other interesting things that came out of the information for you all?
Well, there's more, I mean, just not on the gay thing. There's more Canadian single dads heading lone parent families than there ever have been.
Interesting.
So that is pretty interesting, too. So that probably finally gives some credibility to really good dads out there where we would make the assumption that the birth parent being the mother is where they generally go. So I'm not saying that it's, you know, overrunning it, but the number is higher.
Interesting.
So the new face of the Canadian family is definitely changing to be... you know, the new normal. And listen, depending on who gets in your country for the election, we could be really far ahead of you, or we could be kind of standing next to each other.
Well, one can hope, right? One can hope that there is change on the horizon and that, you know, we continue to grow and move toward a way of inclusion and all our families are recognized and counted for and supported. So,
and that women in general are, you know, respected to make their own choices, for crying out loud. Are we still having that discussion?
Are
you kidding me?
We are still having that discussion, Deb Pierce. Yeah. So luckily you and I are still having discussions so that we give voice to a whole other set of stories that are being told. So I am glad that we are. I miss you, lady, and we're glad to have you back on the Queercast, and hope that you continue to have a wonderful Thanksgiving, and send us some pictures of your autumnal look around your house, and maybe we'll be able to share those with the listeners.
Oh my God, I totally will. I'll put Jack on a pumpkin and, oh my God, jack-o'-lantern. I just got that. I'll put him on a pumpkin and I will take a picture and send it to you guys.
That's great. What's he going for as Halloween?
Oh, I don't know. Everyone wants to do, you know, everyone says that their first one should be a pumpkin, but I'm thinking we should go for a theme like the Jack of Spades and then Jack and the Beanstalk and then Jack-O-Lantern, and then I'm thinking maybe not Jack the Ripper because that's a bit aggressive. But something with the name Jack in it before he can say, Mom, I don't want to do that anymore. Just embarrass him, you know, while we can.
Can you put a little pillbox hat on him and can he be Jacqueline Bouvier Kennedy?
Wow, can I ever? Oh, my God. I'm just picturing. I think he'd look great in a little skirt, pants, suit, skirt.
I would make him be Jacqueline Bouvier Kennedy, but I don't know. That may be too much for too many people. But
I'm not sure that we're that gay, to be honest.
Maybe
I don't think we're that gay.
Maybe not that gay.
No.
We'll keep thinking about it. We'll keep thinking about it.
We're open to suggestions. Feel free to send your comments.
There you go.
I read them, and I'd love to hear.
There you go. Oh, my gosh. Maybe you'll get your own reality show. That's what you need. And then we'll just be following you.
Oh, no. I'm not vain enough to. I'm too vain for that. I could never be on a reality show. I'd spend half the time in the bathroom making sure that I looked okay and that my fly was done up. I'd be scared. Would you be on a reality show, really?
How all of your budget would be on hair. That's what I
know
about.
Yeah, that's true. You. That's a true story. I'm not ashamed to admit that. True.
I know you so well. Oh, Deb Pierce, you're the best.
Amy Matheny, I love you. I miss you. Thanks for having me back on. It's been too long. It shouldn't be that long again. And frankly, I need this gay in my life. I feel a little more queer every time I talk to you. So thank you for making me remember just how queer I really am, just because I'm a mom now.
I'm a big queer mom.
Well, I don't care who knows it.
You definitely put the LGBT in the LGBT with us on the Queercast, so we appreciate it. And everybody, we hope you have a great, great week. Coming up, we're going to be talking about a new company started right here in Chicago with homage to Boys Town that's going to be giving back to the GLBT community. Hopefully, as it grows in its success, it will grow money and rewards and services for LGBT organizations. I'll be telling you more about that. Plus, Mitchell Fain on our upcoming show. He's been off on vacation, and we're going to be excited to have him back. Deb Pierce, happy Thanksgiving, and everyone else, what you going for as Halloween? We got to figure out those costumes and send your suggestions to Jack because he needs them. It's his first year, and he's in dire need of some really queer ideas. Have a good week, everyone.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.